And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got a fascinating couple hours for you. We all dream. Not everybody remembers dreams, but we all do dream. But what about dreams that can save your life? We're going to talk about that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let me introduce our first guest. As a matter of fact, we're going to have two guests talking about this subject tonight. Larry Burke will be joining us in another 20 minutes or so. Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis with us. She was with me back in 2015, has spent years studying and teaching about dreams. She's a three-time breast cancer survivor whose dreams diagnosed her cancer. She credits her survival to conventional treatment combined with her dreams as a diagnostic tool. She's one of 20 case studies from a paper on precognitive dreams that diagnosed breast cancer recently published in a medical journal. I'll introduce Larry Burke later when he comes on. The name of the book that Kathleen and Larry Burke have written is called Dreams That Can Save Your Life. Kathleen, welcome back. It's always good to know you're doing okay.
I'm doing great. I'm still healthy as can be.
Good for you. Was it the dream that saved you, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
How so?
Well, you know, the dream told me, quote unquote, you have breast cancer. This you know, monk that came into my dream that I talked about years ago with you,
yeah,
took my hand, put it on my breast and said, can you feel that? And I said in the dream, yes, I can. And the monk said, you go back to your doctor tomorrow without an appointment and you tell him that you need exploratory surgery because that is the only thing that is going to find it. And at that point, I had already been to my doctor three times over a three-month period, having mammograms, blood tests, and physical exams. So if that monk had not come back to me and insisted that I go to the doctor, I wouldn't be here on your show talking to you. And when the monk said that, when he said, go back to your doctor tomorrow without an appointment, I started crying in the dream. And I said, you know, my doctors aren't listening to me. They're giving me the same mammograms, blood tests, physical exams, and they're not helping me. If you want me to live, if I really do have breast cancer and I'm not just dreaming this, help me. And so this Franciscan monk, and I have no idea why it's a Franciscan monk, but this Franciscan monk handed me a tiny feather and said, you use this like a sword tomorrow to cut through your doctor's arguments. You'll get the test you need.
Amazing.
To live. And I did. I was in stage 2 breast cancer, very aggressive, and it was in a lymph node.
Tell me, Kathleen, who you think the monk might have been, if anybody.
Who would the monk have been? I mean, I don't
know. Was he a symbol of somebody you had known?
No, I'm not Catholic. No. I don't think it's a symbol of anyone I would have known. I don't know any monks. I don't even really know any nuns. So the only thing that I can possibly think of is my father was orphaned, and he was raised by what he called the brothers. He was in a Catholic, I guess, monastery. He was raised by brothers who
And they're strict.
They're very strict. And that's the only connection I have.
Remarkable. When you would be awake, mm-hmm. did you have any inclination that you had breast cancer prior to the dreams?
Oh, absolutely not, George. I mean, seriously, my life was such that one of the reasons why it didn't show up anywhere is, number one, I was young. And my doctor kept telling me, well, you're too young for breast cancer. It doesn't run in your family, so you don't have it. Because I kept saying, what if, what if? And he kept saying, no, it's not. But I played tennis all the time. I scuba dived. I rode horses. I was very active, worked out. I didn't have to work. I wasn't under any stress. I mean, you know my husband. I'm pampered. And yet I got breast cancer, and it changed my life. Because then I realized that if my dreams saved my life, how many other women are out there that are having dreams and ignoring them? And so I made this promise to, I guess, the universe that if I survived this, because the second time when I found recurrence in the dreams and I had to go back to my doctors. It was 9 by 11 centimeter tumor, and the doctors didn't even think I was going to live.
Unbelievable. I guess you could say this is a gift.
Yeah, you know, when we get Dr. Larry Burke on, and you're going to just love him. You know, you meet certain doctors that are one in a million, but he's one in a lifetime. He's going to be talking about how the women that he found were a higher percentage than anybody thought. And so if we could find these people in like 4 months' time to write this book, and that's the only amount of time we had from the time we signed the contract with our publisher, we had no stories. We had 3 chapters that we kind of threw together and sent it out, and it went into a bidding war. And, you know, all of a sudden we had to find these other stories, and boom, they just started coming in left and right.
So do you think this is a process of the brain, that there's some mechanism within our human body that creates this kind of watchdog, or is it something of consciousness outside of the physical body?
I think it's outside the physical body, George. I really do. I think it's beyond Earth. And the reason I feel that, no, the reason I know that, you know, you have beliefs and then you know when you've experienced something. In this book, we have a section where people dreamed for others and told them that they had cancer. And then they went to the doctor and found out, yes, it was true.
For other people, they dreamed.
They did.
Jeez.
For instance, we had daughters that dreamt of cancer for their mothers and saved their mothers' lives. We have a story in here where a daughter dreamt that her mother had uterine cancer and was going to die in 3 months. That's what the dream said. And the dream said, oh, and by the way, you've got breast cancer. Get to the doctor. And they were both true. Now, that raises the question, George, where did that come from? And almost all of these dreamers in this book had voices that told them, or they would have some symbolic dreams, but a lot of them also had deceased loved ones who came back into their dreams and told them that they had cancer and gave them information they could not possibly have had. Now, if they had a diagnostic dream, it's possible that because they had the disease in their body was telling them in a dream. But how do you explain deceased loved ones coming into somebody's dream and telling them that they have the cancer and giving them other information that is later validated? Because every single dream in this book, George, is validated by pathology reports.
And in terms of the illnesses, it's not just cancer that people dream about, right?
No. We have cystic fibrosis. We have diabetes. So, you know, that's a big deal right now with the millennials. We have all kinds of illnesses. No, not just cancer.
Just remarkable. Is it God-given? In your opinion?
I do. I think we're born with it. I think it's a God-given way to reconnect with our higher power and our loved ones, especially in our darkest hour. We're never alone. And I know that, you know, people are going, oh, ghosts are coming back. Well, you know, I think it's a little more than that. I think that when we are in our darkest hour, our loved ones on the other side are given permission to come back and give us information necessary for us to stay alive.
Tell me some of the similarities that people have that are common in these kinds of precognitive dreams.
Well, there's precognitive dreams and there's actually diagnostic dreams too. So a lot of the diagnostic dreams were dreams where people had the disease. They didn't know it yet, other than through the dream, because it hadn't been validated with pathology reports.
Would that have been you?
That was one of them. I also had a precognitive dream. And what a precognitive dream is, you don't have the condition yet. You're told you're going to get the condition. You have a dream that tells you all about it. And then, boom, 5, 10 years later, it happens. And we have a couple of those in there as well. So, you know, you can have diagnostic dreams or precognitive dreams. And what all of the people in the book had together were dreams that they simply could not forget. the dreams would not allow them to forget them. They were in their waking hours. They were in their sleeping hours. They were having synchronicities during the day. They would hear words during the day. They would see visions. Like, I know this might be kind of gross, but one of the women in the book had colon cancer, and she kept having dreams where there was, you know, feces everywhere, and that's the name of her chapter. Feces everywhere. And then she'd be in a boardroom talking to these executives in her waking life, and suddenly she'd see feces all over the table, and she'd kind of blink her eyes and open them again. They'd be gone. So these, well,
that's more of a nightmare than just a dream.
It is a really bad one, but that's the point. You know, nightmares can almost be a blessing in disguise, because it's real easy to forget a friendly little nice cozy dream, but who can forget a nightmare like that? Jeez. You know, crap everywhere. Who can forget that one? And that's what the dreams do. You know, maybe if it had been a beautiful angel that came into my dreams, or some Chinese person that was really friendly and laughing, maybe I wouldn't have taken him seriously. But a monk, a bunch of monks.
Were your dreams scary or just informative?
Sometimes they were really scary. Sometimes they were just terribly frightening. When I had the three crab premonition dream, that scared the bejesus.
I mean, did the monk come to you? Did he look evil or horrible looking or anything like that, or did he just look like a monk?
He just looked like a monk. They always had their hoods up, so I never got to see their faces.
Really? Okay. So yeah, was it like dark?
It was dark.
Or it was just covered. It covered their face, basically.
And the hood was big enough that their faces were in shadow.
That would be kind of scary all by itself, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they're very stern. I mean, it's not like you're going to talk back to them or anything, although I kind of did one time. That was after I was I started having the dreams again with the monks that came in. Through my regular dream that I was having, my dream would stop, and it was like time stood still, and I would get a pop-up on my computer window, and that window would turn into a door, and the monk would step through, and he would have his robe on, his hood would be up, you know, a rope belt, sandals. I mean, the detail was incredible, and he said, come with me, I want to, you know, we need to tell you something, and I stepped into a room between realms. Basically, it's neither of the living nor the dead, but it's a place where both can come together and discuss a situation. And there were about five monks in there. And they told me at that point that my breast cancer was back. And I was just so upset. It was exactly to the five-year point where I thought I was over it. So when I did go back to my doctors the next day and told them that I wanted an MRI, because obviously the mammograms weren't working again.
Wait, and what did the doctors think? That you were nuts or what?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, George, because I didn't tell the doctors I was having dreams. I wanted treatment, not a padded cell. And we're talking about really conservative Bostonian doctors. So
yeah, but how do you convince them that you need the treatment when they're telling you all along, we don't see anything?
Well, and that's the same thing that all the other people in this book that you read did the same thing I did, and that's become very, very stern about it. Really stand in your power, speak your truth, and basically I said, I'm not leaving. You get me that MRI, or you call security to drag me out by my feet, because I'm not going anywhere. And so they did. They got me the MRI, and I had a 9x11 centimeter tumor, which sent them running for the hills at that point, because I was being watched by the chiefs of everything.
There could be some malpractice there, for crying out loud.
Exactly. And I thought about that. I really thought about that, George. And then I came to the conclusion that if I did that, I'd probably win, might get a couple $1 million, which sounds really nice, I'm sure, to your readers. Or your listeners, but then I would be slapped with a gag order, and I would not be able to save any more lives. And so I traded in the money to write the book and get the message out and save lives. So when I found out that I had this practically stage 4 breast cancer, and basically it was stage 4 because it did go to the other breasts, so it moved to another organ. You've got two breasts. And I was lying in the bed, fell asleep, and I had what I call a waking dream. That's where you think you're awake when you're sleeping, and everything seems normal, like you woke up and you're looking up, and I see three monks standing beside my bed, and now I'm just really mad, really mad.
I would guess so.
And I said, you know, what could I possibly have done in this whole lifetime to deserve this? Like, once wasn't bad enough. Now I got to go through it again. You know, what did I do to deserve this? I know I'm dying. Don't bother answering. I know I'm dying. But just go up and tell God that I'm going to be there soon. And when I get there, I'm going to have some real bones to pick with him.
I would guess so.
The monks started laughing. It's the only time I've seen them laugh. And they said something very interesting to me, George. They said, don't you remember, Kat? And I said, remember what? They said, you said before you were born, you wanted to come down onto the earth plane when science was being revered like a god. It was being worshipped. And God was being put in a closet. And you were going to show that science was a gift from God. Science goes so far, and once it fails, then comes God. And we told you we'd be with you every step of the way, which tells us a lot of things. A, there is life after death. B, we make decisions before we're born as to what we're going to do on this earth as part of our life process. And C, we're never alone. They're with us when we're on the other side and when we come back here.
And I would guess you are a believer in a divine creator. We call it God.
I am a believer in our higher power. We call it God.
Whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But there's something there. Mm-hmm. Your book is based on this groundbreaking study by the medical research by Dr. Larry Burke. Mm-hmm. And how did he find you, or how did he get into this? And we'll find out from him in just a second. But how did the relationship start?
Well, it started with another friend of ours, Kelly Sullivan Walden. Remember her?
I sure do.
Well, she said to me one time, because we're really close friends, she said, I have a doctor I want you to meet, because she knew my story. She said, he's doing research basically on your story, so I'm going to hook you guys up. So she gave me Dr. Larry Burke's phone number, and I called him. I was actually at a convention talking and giving a speech, and he called me back, and we started chatting on the phone, and then we met at the IASD, the International Association for the Study of Dreams.
Yeah.
And we presented together. I did mask therapy to help people remember dreams that were difficult to deal with. Because sometimes it's a little easier to take a step back and hide behind something while you're trying to confront it. And then he did his research, which I thought was fabulous. It got, he was able to publish it in some medical journals. And then I said, so, Larry, what are you going to do with all this work you've done? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, why don't we write a book?
All right. Let's bring him in just a moment and talk about dreams that can save your life. And welcome back to Coast with Kathleen O'Keefe Kennevis. She wrote the book with Larry Burke called Dreams That Can Save Your Life. Let me tell you about Dr. Burke. Larry Burke, president of Healing Imager, specializing in teleradiology, emotional freedom technique, hypnosis, dream work. He attended medical school and residency training at the University of Pittsburgh and later trained in acupuncture and hypnosis, becoming a certified energy healer practitioner, Dr. Larry Burke on Coast to Coast. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thanks, George. Great to be with you.
I had worked when I was 21 years old with a young radio reporter in Detroit named Larry Burke. I don't think that was you, but I got to ask.
That's great. I've never heard that before.
Now tell me, how did you go from being a medical doctor into this area of healing, hypnosis, acupuncture? It sounds like you made an incredible change.
Well, I have to go back 30 years to the harmonic convergence in 1987. I'm sure you remember that.
I sure do.
I was doing the early research on MRI of the knee and MRI of the shoulder. I just moved to Philadelphia from Pittsburgh, And all of a sudden, my life started to change for many, many reasons. I started keeping a dream diary. I found my first metaphysical bookstore there and read a bunch of books and realized I needed to start keeping a dream diary. And a couple months later, my dad came to visit from Pittsburgh. I hadn't seen him in months. And that night, I dutifully recorded a dream that I had a brain tumor.
Wow.
And that everyone was shocked because the CAT scan showed this big tumor, but I was perfectly healthy. And, you know, I didn't think much of it. I just wrote it down and like I was doing, you know, and I just moved on. And then a week later, I was at the big Radiology Society of North America meeting in Chicago, negotiating some deal to buy an MRI scanner. And I got a call from my mother. My dad had just peed blood and had gone in for a CAT scan, had a huge kidney tumor, and everyone was shocked because he looked so healthy. And at the time, when I flew home to see him, I bought Bernie Siegel's Love, Medicine, and Miracles.
Right.
And Bernie's the first doctor to ever mention any value to dreams at all.
And wrote the foreword to both you and Kathleen's book.
He wrote the foreword, which I'm really honored about that. It's coming full circle for me. And so he mentions that dreams could be valuable, you know. And I look back through my dream diary, and I find this dream that I had the only time I saw my dad that whole, like, six-month period. And I thought, okay, I'm a junior, so same name as my dad. Tumor's on the same side, and the kidney's a little bit structured like the brain as the cortex and the medulla. And so I figured I must have somehow picked something up and translated into the dream. And that was my first experience of anything, you know, diagnostic about a dream.
Were you fascinated by that?
That was pretty amazing. And at that time, I also guided my dad through a whole bunch of alternative therapies. His cancer was like my initiation into the holistic realm. We did meditation, macrobiotic diet, all kinds, acupuncture, all kinds of new things for me. And then fast forward 1998, I am at Duke University. I'm now an associate professor of radiology, and we were just founding the Duke Integrative Medicine Center. We had our first mindfulness meditation retreat with Jon Kabat-Zinn, and just before the retreat, I'd had a dream about having lung cancer, that I had lung cancer. I didn't smoke, and I thought that was pretty far-fetched, and these symptoms. And I remembered the dream about my dad, and I said, you know, maybe this isn't about me. Maybe it's about somebody else. I go to the retreat, and a friend of mine who's another integrated medicine colleague runs up and says, hey, Larry, I want you to meet someone. He's just like you. And I thought, well, what does that mean? And she said, oh, he's a radiologist just like you, and he's here. And I got introduced to the guy, and I said, it's unusual to have even one radiologist at a meditation retreat. Well, now we have two. What are you doing here? He says, well, I'm here because I have lung cancer. And I got chills, like, oh, that was the guy in my dream. You know, that was the dream. And I thought, okay, the next morning I just went in and took a chest x-ray myself anyway, and it was normal. So that sort of set me up for this whole dream world experience. And then a year later, one of my colleagues came in and started telling me these wild stories about how she started having dreams about spiders coming out of her mouth, thought she had cancer of the mouth, went in for a biopsy, it was negative, and the next night, Hot Lips Houlihan and one of the MASH doctors showed up and said, you got to go back and get another biopsy. They missed it.
Huh.
She did, sure enough, and they found the cancer. And after she had treatment a few years later, she had a dream of the spider escaping from its cage, and she had a recurrence.
Jeez.
So Polly Delavitt was her name, and she really introduced me to the idea that you might be able to dream about cancer for yourself. And then 2004, one of my best friends told me about her breast cancer dream, and that started me down the breast cancer rabbit hole. So,
did this metamorphosis for you, this change, did it come easy or was it difficult?
Well, I had a lot of credibility as a serious MRI researcher, but I think I got away with it because everyone was a little bit mystified by the whole MRI magnetic field environment that was so strange. And I had an office right next to the MRI scanner that actually had the computer screen display was tilted because of the magnetic field. So I guess people figured my thinking must have gotten a little bit twisted at the same time. So I tended to present it all with a sense of humor so that they would walk away going, was he serious or was he just pulling my leg?
So now let's talk about this study that you put together about precognitive health dreams. How did you start that?
Best friends, Diane, had this dream out of the blue one night. You know, she's 50 years old. She's healthy, a scientist, actually, and also a meditation teacher. And she said she was just woken up by this dream, vivid dream, most vivid in her life. A woman surgeon is operating on her breast, and she knows exactly where the cancer is in the dream. She wakes up, goes in, insists on a mammogram the next day, and the radiologist comes out very reassuring and says, look, mammogram's normal. You can come back in a year. And she said, no, I don't think so. I think I have breast cancer, and you need to do an ultrasound. And the radiologist, she said, well, you know, we don't do ultrasounds just without a palpable mass or without something on the mammogram. I wouldn't even know where to look. And so, no, we can't do that today. So Diane wouldn't leave until they did the ultrasound. It's just like Kat had mentioned earlier. She said, radiologist, well, I wouldn't even know where to put the probe. And she said, well, put it right here. Radiologist puts the probe on, sees the small cancer deep in the breast, and is like shocked, you know, white as a ghost. And, how'd you know it was there? And she said, well, it was in a dream. And then a week later, Diane gets referred to the breast surgeon who she's never met before. She walks in and recognizes the woman from her dream. And it turns out that that's a pretty common theme in the study, that white-coated doctors show up in people's dreams, and then they recognize them when they go to the appointment later.
You know, it's pretty dramatic how this happens and how this works. And I was asking Kathleen, who's going to join us in a few minutes, whether this was something physical within the body, that we have a mechanism that does this, or if it's outside the body, and she said it was outside the body. What about your thoughts?
I had to explain the same question, and I gave a TEDx talk in 2016, interestingly enough, got censored by the TED group as being too far outside.
Too much? Too woo-woo or what?
I was very careful. I was coached by my TED coaches. They said, don't be Dr. Sedona. So, you know what that means. So I had to get very conservative and present it all in a conservative way. And it got approved, and I had 7,000 views. And then, unfortunately, I poked the bear. I applied for the TEDx prize. There's $1 million prize every year for someone who gives a TED talk that allows them. The money would be used to further your research. So I applied for that, and as soon as I applied for that, a week later, they slapped the censorship red banner on my video, and there's a disclaimer saying it doesn't meet our scientific criteria. I made no crazy claims. I suggested, you know, conservative things, like if you're thinking about not starting your mammograms till 50, and you have a dream when you're 45 that you have breast cancer, get your mammogram started early.
Yeah.
I wasn't making any crazy claims, but... So now it's on my website only. It's not on YouTube anymore, and you can click on the little X in the upper right corner of the red banner to get rid of the banner so you can watch the video. So.
Well, give me the why, Doctor, the why on how you think and why you think this happens, the ability to dream about things that are happening within yourself.
I said in the talk, I said three possibilities. The first was these people are in denial. You know, they've had some symptoms. They're pretending they're not there, and the dream just is their subconscious way of penetrating through the denial and telling them, "Look, you got to quit ignoring this. Go get it checked." That's the easiest explanation for a regular doctor to cope with. The second explanation was they have no symptoms. There's no way that they could have felt it or you know had any sense about it. But there's some subconscious signaling mechanism, neuropeptides or, you know, neurotransmitters or something that's sending a message to the brain that gets turned into a dream. And the third level is that there's an intuitive process going on, that, as Kat mentioned, that's really outside the realm of what we understand right now or beyond our science at this time. So there's three possibilities.
And with these possibilities, can people go to sleep and try to do this, or does it just happen?
I would say that everybody has the ability to do this. The people who are most likely to do this are I think, probably relatively intuitive in their waking life, at least the subjects who I interviewed, the 18 women in the study and a few of the other people I've talked to, have been, and not to say they're not, my first two friends were both scientists, so, but they also had a fairly well-developed right brain capacity as well. And I suspect that as a culture, as we go back and reclaim the ability to work with our dreams, like indigenous people have been doing for millennia, that we'll be able to cultivate this ability and more people will have these experiences like the Greeks did back in the Asclepius temples.
Give us, if you can, while we still have a few minutes here, Doctor, another story of a success case of a dreamer.
Yeah, the second case was that I encountered was another close friend, a physician who had two dreams one night. One was of a serial killer, which the kind of dream where you get up and want to check, make sure your doors are locked. And then the second was about breast cancer. She went in, again, didn't have any symptoms. The mammogram was, again, she was told it was normal. And she said, and the radiologist goes, "You don't look happy." She said, "Most people, when I tell them it's normal, they're like thrilled and they run out the door." She said, "No, I still think I have cancer. And I think I have it right here." And the radiologist says, well, we can look at the mammogram again. And they pulled the mammogram back out, and sure enough, they found a suspicious area, which was the cancer, guided by the dream to help her interpret the mammogram. That was pretty mind-boggling. And then the third case was of a woman, another friend of mine, who had a vivid dream, went in, told the same story to the doctor. Doctor just blew it off and said, "Nah, this is just normal breast tissue. We're not even going to do a mammogram. You'll be fine." And she died of metastatic breast cancer a few years later.
Jeez.
So that was the cautionary tale that really pushed me to do the study.
What's the message that you would give people, Larry, about this?
I would say start keeping the dream diary tonight. It's free. It's kind of fun. You might get other information about your personal issues like emotions and relationships and financial matters besides your health. And then if you do have a vivid, really powerful dream, have the courage to share it with your doctor. And also cultivate in your family that everybody gets up in the breakfast table and shares their dreams from the night before.
It's an amazing, amazing technique, isn't it?
It's accessible to everybody. It's just waiting to be handled. And the sponsors of my first research project are dreamscloud.com. They're the Facebook, essentially social media site for dream sharing. And they're really working hard to get the word out and get your smartphone app to keep your dream diary on your smartphone.
All right, Kathleen, let me bring you up for a second. And before we get to calls next hour, this saved your life, and I assume you believe it could save anybody's life.
No, I've read all the 42 stories in this book, and it did save their lives.
Are you amazed by this? I mean, what do you think is doing this?
And it was kind of reassuring because I was afraid I was the only one walking around going, "Yeah, well, I have dreams that tell me I have breast cancer, and it's true, and then I saved my life." So by reading all these other people's stories and realizing I'm not alone, that there are a lot of people out there, not just women, men too, that have dreams that diagnose their illness or not even illnesses, sometimes it's just conditions. Like with Athena Kolinsky, she had a condition and she was told in a dream not to have sex with this new boyfriend. And that dream kept her from having a very serious condition. So yes, I think everybody can do it if they just believe in themselves.
All right, well, let's take phone calls when we come back, and let's take some stories if you want to share one of yours with us next.